What better to do than to go to 2 Peter? 1 Peter talked a lot about helping Christians to deal with suffering. And we got a lot of repetition about what it means to be in a world that causes suffering. 2 Peter is more about protecting ourselves from bad doctrine and bad teachings. And there's a lot of that. It's interesting, though. It was always present in the world. It was in the early church. You see that in the book of Revelation. He goes through and he explains how, every church had flaws, and most of those flaws were about doctrine and failings. So Peter is helping the church to basically know how to stand with God. And the best thing that, I used to teach a class on cults, and I took a few courses in comparative religions and cults and what have you, and I used to teach that. But I realized the way to protect yourself from cults is to know the truth, to know God. If you know God, you're protected from anything that's false about God. So Peter basically starts off by talking to us about knowing God. And there's four characteristics that I think we really want to apply to our heart and mind and to kind of secure ourselves. Hopefully, none of this will be a surprise. None of us will be a shock. And we'll understand, okay, yeah, I do know that. And I have that part of knowing God. So we're going to start with the chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first thing that he talks about, or the first thing he does, is he identifies the people of God. He identifies who he's writing to, and he's talking about people who have received faith. First of all, you cannot know God apart from faith, right? That's an absolute necessity. When you talk to people who call themselves atheist, or they might call them agnostic, meaning I don't know, or they're from some other religion, the problem is they don't have the faith to really have their eyes open. We pray, open the eyes of my heart, open, God talks about that. Faith is what opens our eyes. We believe there is a God. We believe, and because we know Scripture, we know He's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Chris did a really good job going through a creed this morning, explaining some of that to us. But the interesting thing about this, and it'd be very hard to translate this literally, because the word received means to choose by lot. And all I want us to understand is that if you believe, think of this, if you believe in God, you didn't muster that up from within yourself. That is something that was chosen for you to have. So God chose you to have faith. And that is so it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God to have the same kind of faith. I like the way Peter puts this, and actually they jumble the words around. In the Greek, it says, you've got something the same as us, a faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It actually literally is in the righteousness of our God and Savior, without a comma, Jesus Christ. And so I was talking about, you don't know whether it's saying Jesus is God and Savior or if it's our Father and Savior. And I was saying earlier, it doesn't matter because salvation is a Trinitarian thing. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working in us. The point of this is, though, that we've received a faith to believe in God means to believe in God. And that is part of knowing God. And the good news in that is it's also part of God knowing you. When you believe in God, that means God knows you and called out your name and brought you in. In the first Peter, he talked about God choosing, God sanctifying, God sprinkling with the blood. In other words, all the work by God being done. Folks, never underestimate God's work just in the idea that we believe. We believe, and that makes us different than a lot of people, but it also makes us special in God's eyes because He put that in us to believe. Okay? So you have that And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. And this is a word I've shared with you many times. There's gnosis, which is to know, and epignosis, which is to really be an A student. I know everything. The point is, there's a real peace and there's a real rest when we know God. He uses that term three times in this first chapter. That's why I think that the subject is surrounding the idea of knowing God. When I know God, look, the world can fall apart. You can have crazy people running things. You can have evil stuff going on. There's a lot of sin in the world. There's a lot of trouble in the world. And if I know God, I can set my heart at rest. I can set my heart at peace by just thinking about who He is and how He might use the stuff that's going on for my benefit and for my growth, like we learned in 1 Peter, right? So the idea of knowing God brings us a sense of ability to have grace and peace in our lives. So that's a benefit of knowing God. Now, he goes on in verse 3. He says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge. Again, this time they translate it true knowledge instead of just knowledge, but it's the same word, epignosis, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Peter just packs words together, and there's such a depth of what he's saying here, but he's talking about the idea of knowing God who provides everything. Look, who is our God? The divine power. He is the creator of all things. He is the one who made our souls, made us a living being. He's the one that gives us our purpose. He's the one that basically takes care of the sun and the moon and all of this planet. And he gives us our food. He gives us our daily bread. And he takes care of our souls. And so when he says that God gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness, that's a huge picture. I use that phrase often in prayers when I'm praying to God. I say, Lord, you know, grant us all things that we need for life and godliness. And life can pertain to the daily bread, to the things that we need just to survive. Do you believe that God sees you? Do you believe that God knows you? Do you believe that God, who knows when a sparrow falls out of the sky, knows what your needs are? And even before we could ask him for something, he knows and he cares and he answers us. But life is more than that. It's more than the stuff of food and clothing and shelter and those kinds of things. Life is a spiritual thing as well. And so many times in the Gospel of John, he would use the word eternal life, talking to us about when we have faith in Jesus Christ, when we are walking with God, what he bestows upon us, what he gives us is life, an abundant life, meaning a life that never disappears, a life that goes on into eternity. All of this thing, godliness and life that comes from God at all, is not only for now. And we do experience it now. We experience God's grace at times. We experience God's provision at times. But it is all the way into eternity. It never stops. And it will be greater and greater as time goes on. So he has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. When we talk about God, when we talk about life, when we talk about godliness, how do we know what that is? Except for through the promises that God has made throughout centuries of revelation in the Word of God. Another way that we know God is through his precious, mighty promises. That's how we know who he is. So you know God because you have faith, and God's given you that faith. He's also given us the Word of God, and we don't tamper with the Word of God. In the next section, Peter explains why we don't tamper with the Word of God. But the Word of God explains to us who our Father is. It explains to us why God created the heavens and earth, why there's a kingdom of heaven waiting for us. It explains to us how we can not be perfect, but yet through Jesus Christ we have the cleansing of sin and the imputation of righteousness. We learn from the Scriptures how God has intended for us to be his children, to be his image bearers, to learn how to walk with him and to be with him and to be able to live with him face to face in the glories of heaven. Through the Word of God, we receive everything about God. He teaches us about His morality. He teaches us about His sonship, who, you know, Jesus is. Teaches us about the working of the Holy Spirit. And all these things are laid out for us. And the more we understand the Word of God, the more we understand who God is. I've been a student of the Word for 40 years, and I could probably go for another 400 if God permitted it. Because you constantly are learning. You're constantly seeing an unfolding time by time and day by day and moment by moment. You see an unfolding of who God is in His Word. I spent many hours this week just looking at these verses because they're so rich and so full, but they're teaching me about God. They're teaching me about God. So you have faith. You have the Word. Now, some people would say that's where it ends. And that's not accurate. There was a book that I read when I was in seminary. It was called Knowing God. And as I read it, I got infuriated because it seemed to me that the author was simply talking about intellectual knowing. And that's not all there is to God. That's not all the relationship is about. I probably knew God more spiritually than I did intellectually when I first became a Christian, right? So he says, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That is spiritual life. Partakers of the divine. And the word partaker actually is a word you might know, koinonia, which means fellowship. We have fellowship with the divine nature. John talks about that we have fellowship with the Father, the Son, with one another. That fellowship is a union that we have with God through the Holy Spirit. You must know God spiritually. You cannot know God only by faith and that's it. Oh, I believe there is a God, or I believe there's God, but I don't need to go any farther. No, I want to know God. So I'm into His Word, and I'm learning about God. But the way that God also communicates to us is through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us by the Spirit. And Paul says that we know the mind of God because we have the Spirit. The Spirit reveals to us the way God thinks, the way God sees things. We see things and we know things from the Spirit that we don't know otherwise. Things might be up to debate. You might debate whether the Word of God is true or not true. And people do that. People who don't have a grace of God in their lives, they will argue with Scripture against Scripture. And they will make all kinds of invalid points about it. But with those of us who have the power of God inside of us, that Spirit of God, every time we hear something that's wrong, every time we hear a misdiagnosis of who God is or what God has said, the Spirit tells us, no, that's not right. That's not true. The Spirit helps us to know. Jesus told His guys before He was leaving that the Holy Spirit was coming. And He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. An orphan is a child that doesn't have anybody to guard over them. Who's going to guard over us? He said, I'm going to send the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to teach you about me. And the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of everything that I said. One of the most powerful things about the Spirit of God, it is so connected to the Word of God that as the Spirit moves in us, it reminds us of the things that were written down for us. It agrees with Scripture and the truth of Scripture. It agrees with faith. The Spirit of God, when you hear someone give a testimony about, I believe in Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ came and lived perfectly, I believe that Jesus Christ lived sinlessly, I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood on a cross for my sins, I believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, I believe that He is enthroned in heaven and has a name that is above other name, no other name like His name. I believe there's power for salvation only in the name of Jesus. Doesn't the Holy Spirit inside of you say, amen, say it some more, keep going, because that's our faith and that's our Word and that's the Spirit of God testifying to the truth of all of it. So He says, you know, we become partakers with the divine nature. Do you understand that, you know, and you can call it born again? You can call it a new creation. You can call it a transformation of life by the power of the Spirit. There's so many ways to define this idea. But the idea is When Christ is in your life, when Christ is in your heart, when you are knowing God, it changes who you are. It makes you a different type of being. Think of that. What were you before you knew Christ? What were you before you knew God? What were you before you had faith? You weren't the same person. Hopefully you are today. Hopefully we're. And you know, I think sometimes we get confused with the idea of perfection and understanding the goal that we're going for. Right? We see mistakes, we see the error, but why do you see it? Because God is communicating to you. You know who God is now. You believe in God. You believe in His Word. And the testimony of the Spirit tells you this is where you're supposed to be headed. This is where you're supposed to be going. And sometimes we get confused with that message. Is, oh no, God's mad at me. No, He's not. He's leading you towards, I used to call it higher ground, a closer walk, a closer thing. See, the idea of understanding and knowing God, can you imagine the idea of this principle of knowing God, epignosis, perfectly knowing? Do you know when that'll actually happen? When the sky opens up and the Lord comes down and we stand in the very holy presence of Almighty God. Oh, guess what? Now I know. Now I see, right? We know in part. We know in part, but we're striving to continue to know, to continue to see. The Spirit makes us alive in that. The truth of God, the Word of God makes us alive in that. The faith of God makes us alive. That's all about knowing God. The saddest line is this next line. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. That word could actually be translated as an animal or a beast. Think about what people are without the divine power of God. Think of what people are without the Word of God. Think of what people are without faith in God, without knowing God. They are nothing, as Paul calls them, but brute beasts. And what's their end? Will they grow in sanctification? Will they grow in an appetite to be with God, to be holy as He is holy? Will they grow to understand, to be better, to know and to walk with God and become that new creation? No. They can't do any of that. They're stuck. And literally, you could translate this, because we are partakers of the divine nature, we've been broken out of the prison of animal life. And that's how people live who don't know God. We want them to know God. We don't want them to stay there. We want them to know God. But the way Peter describes this, our transformation is leaving apart a prison of animalism, a prison of decay, a prison that leads to death and decay. We don't want that. We want life. We want power. We want the Lord God in our lives. Knowing God brings us there. Faith, correct? Faith, the Word of God, and Spirit all working in us. But there's one more aspect of knowing God. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Now, the King James says, add to your faith, and I like that better. Because if you stop, okay, I got the Spirit, and I've known guys that had the Spirit, or they had a taste of the Spirit, but their moral life stunk, and that didn't save them. That didn't lead them away, right? I've got the Spirit. I've got the knowledge of God. I've got the faith. But there's also a moral quality that God wants us to mirror from Him. All of these things that he talks about, everyone is a quality of God. We talk about the image of God and how people will say, oh, all people are in the image of God. No, they're not. If you're not moral as God is moral, if you're not spiritually led as God is spirit, if you're not guided by His mind, the Word of God, you're not, right? And if you don't have faith in God, you're not. You're not all those things. Knowing God, being in the image of God, that's what all these things are, right? You can't say, I know all about God, but morally, I don't think I need to change. That doesn't work, right? So he says, add to your faith. And I'm going to go to the King James. I memorized this whole chapter when I was a freshman in college. Add to your faith. Virtue is the word. Aritis, virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Moral character. I want to do things right. I want to talk right. I want to think right. I want to behave right. Moral character, moral excellence. God, is God moral? Absolutely. Even when God judges the whole world, the angels in heaven cry out, you know, the judgments of the Lord are absolutely righteous and just. Everything he does is absolutely righteous and just. So he's morally excellent. We're supposed to be morally excellent. When we talk about the image of God, we want to be like our Father. Knowledge. Add to your moral excellence knowledge, right? Add to virtue knowledge. Now, this is actually the other word, gnosis. But knowledge, again, how we do. Well, one of the reasons why we gather together in these spaces and talk about the Word of God and listen to the Word of God and study the Word of God is so that we might grow in our understanding of who God is. If I would have stayed the same as I was, even when I met Barb, I've grown since then in my understanding of God, my understanding of His Word. I've grown, and you constantly grow. Like I said, the final goal is knowing God, absolutely. So we continue to grow. Remember what he said. He says, apply all diligence. And King James again says, make every effort. When am I done? I'm not done. I'm at it, 40 years. Next week, I'll be at it again, right? We don't stop. We don't say, oh, I'm good. I'm not good. I'm still working, I'm still striving, I'm still growing, right? He says, so add to your moral excellence knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. And self-control really means to be Lord over your being, okay? I don't let the passions of the flesh tell me what to do, you know? You see a girl in the summertime not wearing very much, fellas, what do? You know, you remember what Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a woman. You know, I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to, get myself morally in trouble. I control my eyes. I control my mind. Why? Because the power of Christ is in me to do that, right? Now, if I'm back in the corruption, right, if I'm back in the animal prison, I got no control. They'd say, oh, I couldn't help myself. No, you could have, but you didn't know Jesus. If you know Jesus, Jesus gives you that control, that power. And there's so many different avenues you could go. But the understanding is I control the appetites of the flesh so that they don't control me and lead me astray. This is so important, right? Perseverance, to self-control, perseverance. That means I'm not stopping. I'm, man, you get smacked around sometimes in life. Praise God, every day you don't. All right, we talked about that in 1 Peter. A lot of suffering, a lot of potential out there for problems, right? But I am not going to quit. I am not going to give up. Even if when I stumble, I'm going to stand back up by the power of God, by the power of His Spirit, by the truth of His Word, by faith in God. He'll lift me up. He'll help me. He wants me to make it, and that's what perseverance is. Perseverance is continue to strive to do it right. Perseverance, right? And to that, godliness. Godliness. I want to be like my Father. I want to be like Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me how to walk and speak and live, right? Brotherly kindness, kind of this friendship among people. I want to be friendly. I don't want to be hostile. People sometimes in this neighborhood, they can get hostile. Sometimes on the roads, people get hostile, right? We see that hostility in humanity. Jesus said as times go on and it gets worse, he says the love of many is going to wax cold. In other words, there's going to be a lot of hostility in the world, not us. Brotherly kindness. We should always seek to be kind to each other, especially. And then love, which is, agape. So you have Philadelphia, which is brotherly kindness, and then agape, love. And that love is as strong as God's love. It says, if I see someone in need, I can't shut off my compassion. You know, I have to do what Jesus did for me. Jesus saw my need. He gave himself for me. We see folks in need. We help them. We see people hurting. We pray for them. We weep with them. We talk to them. We listen to them. You know, we do all the things that show not just a feeling, but real love. Love cares about others. God's love is not about himself. It's about us. Think about that. The millions and millions of people that God has loved throughout history. The millions and millions of people that he's going to bring into his family. That's love. It's not inward. It's outward. And it's reaching and loving and caring. And so we're supposed to have that characteristic. So you see here, these are the four things about knowing God. It's about faith. It's about the word. It's about the spirit. And it's about morally knowing God. And you mirror that when you know God. The farther you go, the better you should be. That's what he says. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, in other words, I'm better than I used to be. Hey, praise God, right? Doesn't mean I'm perfect, right? They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the word knowledge, epignosis. When you are in track with this, with the faith, with the word, with the spirit, with the morality of God, you will know Jesus and you will be able to be helpful to yourself, to your family, to those around you. You will not be fruitless and useless. That's what the words could mean. You will actually produce good things because God's working in you. Because you're growing in God and your knowledge of God is working in you. He who lacks these qualities... So you say, well, I didn't, you know, I got the spirit and I'm all goofy. You know, it makes me feel good. I got the word, sort of. But this moral stuff, nah, that's not really where it's at, is it? No, he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten his purification from his former sins. See, the idea is when Christ is working in us, we want him to keep working in us. When Christ is leading us towards the kingdom of heaven, we want to keep following and growing. If we stop or quit or give in to the passions of the world or the things of the world, we lose that. We're saying, no, I'm not on board with you. I'll go halfway. Well, that's no way, you know? And this is what he says to finish it. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Again, this is work. You know, keep at it to make certain about his calling and choosing you. When these things are at work in you, right? Again, the faith, the word, the spirit, the morality. When those things are leading your heart, leading you, right? It says, that means I'm okay. I'm doing what God intended me to do. I'm where God wants me to be. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Again, you will never stumble. And that means like the fall. You'll never fall. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but what? God is working. God is leading. God is directing me towards it, right? And in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. It's really good to know God. Knowing God means I'm headed toward the kingdom of heaven. Knowing God means that I am going where he wants me to go. Now, Peter sums it up by saying, I always remind you of these things, even though you know them, and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of my body. Because I know I will soon put it aside. He said, pretty soon I'm going to die. And I want you, church, to know this. And he gave it to us as well, right? And the Lord had told him that he was going to die. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Remember what it means to know God. Faith, word, spirit, morality. God at work in us and all that area, and we're knowing God. we're walking with God so we can get to the kingdom. Peter says, remember that. And when you forget, remember it again. And keep reminding each other, right? So that's our word for the day. Yeah. Amen.